All right, thank you, Sarah. And Doug, we're going to move into the NAEP presentation, and then we are going to... let me just say that we have a large number of people that have come to celebrate something today out in the hallway. And as soon as this is over, we're going to... President Samarick has agreed that we can let them in, and we'll move that into their agenda because they're all coming from their schools, and I don't want to hold them up. So...
Okay, just for background's sake on the NAEP presentation and the participation exclusion rates, as many people know, Maryland had very high NAEP scores for quite some time, and then it was revealed that we were excluding many, many more students than other states from the students who were participating, and when we ratcheted down our exclusion rate, our test scores fell substantially. So this is a conversation about why was our exclusion rate so high, how did it get there, how have we remedied that, and then the consequences for our test scores.
And Dr. Strader, I'm going to limit you today to this presentation time, so just know that you are going to give the abbreviated version, so... I know that you are very, very well-versed in this area, but let's just keep it to the main line here. Thank you.
Okay, so let's cut to the chase. First of all, an understanding of NAEP and NAEP sampling processes. We'll look at the scores and impacts of performance here momentarily. But looking at NAEP, NAEP basically goes through a process they refer to as a school rank order sampling methodology. Basically, they're taking schools that represent various demographics, of the state anyway, of the nation itself. They rank the schools, and then they select those schools that meet certain criteria. They randomly sample students from those schools. The end result is basically you're looking at what is summarized here in this table. So for grade 4, for instance, we have population size of roughly 69,000 students. The total NAEP sample is roughly 3% when you get down to it. So let me just spend a minute. So out of the 69,000, the sample size that's collected is 3,100 students for grade 4. That's because we also report Baltimore City separately. So we need a greater concentration of students there to be able to report Baltimore City. Baltimore City represents about 10% of our population, so they're weighted. So the students of Baltimore City count about a tenth of a kid. And that comes up with your what they call the state target or weighted sample. So the overall population of fourth graders, and the data that I'm going to share with you here momentarily, is based on 2,100 students out of the 69,000 that are represented here, which again comprises about 3% of the overall population. They then go through this weighted process for
Wait. So the way, maybe I'm sensitive on this, the way you phrased it suggested that maybe we should give less credence because of the size of the sample, but it is a legitimate sample that reflects the population to a high degree of certainty.
What I'm suggesting is because of the sample size, you need to understand what we're going to refer to as statistical significance.
Agreed.
The way you said it made it sound as if you're excluding the Baltimore City students.
No, not excluding.
Okay. You said 2,100, and I would have thought you would have said 3,100.
So when you look at this, a lot of folks, like, for instance, if I take you to the next page, here's the actual breakdown that you can't get on the the NAEP website. This is the actual breakdown of schools that have been selected within a district for the NAEP sampling process. One may look at this. I'm looking at grade 4. One may look at this and say, wow, Baltimore City is making up a big chunk of this sample. Well, you have to keep in mind they are because they're also reported separately. So I don't wish to distort that. So 1,100 kids in Baltimore City are used because they're a TUDA school. So we can see the results of Baltimore City independent of the rest of the state. So that's why they have so many schools selected from Baltimore City. Those kids don't count equally. Otherwise, you would say, hey, wait, that doesn't represent the state as a whole.
Right.
Why do we have such a sample from there? So
got it.
Thank you for having me clarify that. But you can see, though, they do not select every district. Not every district is sampled. They don't even look at district when they sample. They look at the overall demographics of the state as a whole and go through their weighting process. So you can see that represented here in accounts. And roughly, it's approximately, they select about 25 students per school per content, per grade. And then you have about 20 test takers on average is how it works out. So you can see both the school counts as well as the student counts here.
You've just illustrated why NAEP, in its current form, cannot replace state assessments.
Right.
as a sample?
Because it ignores so many places.
Yes.
It's a sample. Okay.
Okay. So the NAEP exclusion background, this was one of the main reasons why we were presenting this today. Maryland has a history within our assessment program being very proactive, going back, way back, to the MSPAP, MSA programs. Within our assessment programs, we assess decoding and fluency separate from comprehension. Specifically in grades 3 and 4, we assessed how well kids can decode text. Again, that's separate from comprehension. So in our special education program, we have allowed the accommodations of the read aloud or text to speech in modern terms or whatever of students being able to be read to for assessing comprehension only. Okay, so to make that clear, so because we assess them separately in Maryland, we allow the accommodation for comprehension purposes only. The issue that you have with NAEP is roughly a one-hour assessment. In ELA, there's about 35 questions on average. They don't assess decoding and fluency separate from comprehension. It's all bundled, so they don't allow the read-aloud accommodation. So going back prior to 2012, NAEP had a procedure. It was an exclusion procedure of which, actually, it's still there to date. But anyway, if those accommodations were not permitted, students were actually excluded from the assessment. Now, a lot of this is derived from our Maryland Accommodations Manual here, which defines what accommodations are available to students. And the Accommodations Manual was specific to state of Maryland assessments. It didn't mention national or international tests. So it actually almost created somewhat of like an entitlement. So students thought because they have access to the read-aloud accommodation, NAEP doesn't offer it, so we're going to exclude the students. In 2012, we rectified that ship. So the IEP was modified to include declarative language about national and international assessments and the fact that students may not be offered these accommodations when taking these tests. We've done a lot of professional development with the districts, and I think what you'll see in the data slides that follow, you'll see that reflected in our rates. So this first slide, just to help you orient, fourth grade reading, you can see 2013. The light colors are students with disabilities, the blues, I should say, are students with disabilities. The shades of orange are our English language learners. The light colors are national. Dark colors are state. You can see how the state of Maryland, we had very high, especially in reading, because it was the text-to-speech read-aloud accommodation in particular. We were very high rates leading up to that 2013 school year, and then they have fallen dramatically after introducing the new policy. So again, this is primarily a reading issue, but there was exclusions in math as well. So transitioning through the slides for time.
Can you slow down a little bit?
I sure can.
The eighth grade reading, I looked at the national data, and as far as I could tell, our exclusion rates were still among the very highest in the nation. Is that true?
They're still above the national average by far. You can see it here.
Why are we over three times the exclusion rate for L's?
So the first administration after implementing the policy was 2015. Again, folks, we're looking at 2015 data. This was from 2 years ago. The 2017, we're expecting much lower rates here, better aligned, because we've had more time for the professional development to kick in to get these folks where they need to be. Implementing any policy, generally elementary, a little bit more flexible, middle, and then high school, ember leaves here. But either way, we are expecting this trend to continue into 2017. So again, I just want to remind everybody, we are looking at 2015 data here.
So will you bring us in January the 2017?
Yes, I will, and that's the last slide.
Yeah, we don't think till the end of
February. February board meeting.
We'll round up with data when we have everything in and we can have all of our data points
Thank you.
Available.
Thank you. So eighth grade reading, fourth grade math. You see the percentage over the exclusion is much higher to start. But now, starting in the 2013 school year, you can see we're actually below the national average here, which is a good thing to be below in this case. Much better aligned in mathematics, especially in grade 8, but we do have the reading in grade 8. That is still higher than the national average that we're still working on. Okay? So one of the questions was looking at the performance. And when you're looking at NAEP performance, I wanted to share some things to keep in mind. One, when we're looking at the park assessments, we assess every student. Every student, every grade level, we're very rich in data. We set these wonderful children down for 4 hours, and they take magnitude of items covering all of the standards. In NAEP, it's just NAEP, we take a sampling approach, again, about 3% of the overall population, statistically adjusted to match the sample of the state as a whole. So extensive measures psychometrically to make this sample work. But again, it is only a sample, so we have to understand what that significance means when we're looking at NAEP data. Also, when you're going through this, keep in mind it's a relatively short test. Doesn't cover all of the standards. It's only an hour in length, which is good. Students take only one content area. They're not taking both. The test is meant to provide a high-level summary of where students are performing. It's not meant to be diagnostic to inform instruction. That's what our state assessment program, as Dr. Finn was alluding to earlier, that's its purpose in life. The last piece here is also keep in mind that the standards in Maryland have shifted, as well as in many states. We are now assessing the Maryland College and Career Ready standards here. We switched our assessment program in 2014, instruction earlier. We adopted in 2010. So that alignment of the standards also could have an impact. Our instruction isn't as directly aligned to what was assessed in NAEP in prior years as it is now.
Just pause for a second. I want to make sure that my interpretation is correct, and if it is correct, that we understand collectively the meaning of the exclusion rates. So prior to the correction, when Maryland was scoring extremely high on NAEP compared to other states, we were excluding big chunks of our low-performing students because we had a high exclusion rate, students with disabilities and L students. So there, for example, our sample compared to the sample of other states, when our scores were really high compared to other states, something that is running parallel to that is we were excluding large chunks of historically low-performing students. Is that correct?
Yeah, so for instance, 2005, 2007, we were excluding roughly 20% of our EL population, special education population, roughly, 15% difference here?
Well, I mean, the
and it grows the further out you go, right.
So if you have fourth grade reading, so in 2013, we were, I don't know, 8 times higher in our exclusion rate?
For special education, yes.
So our sample had 1/8 of the percentage of this historically low-performing group. So when we were talking about our NAEP scores being higher than other states, we also have to simultaneously say, yes, but our sample was excluding, according to this, across all the grades, historically, year after year after year, big chunks of students who we know were low-performing.
That's correct.
And so now when we're looking at our scores being in the middle of the pack, which you're about to get to, that is at least partially a function of now we are getting more and more in alignment with the exclusion rates of other states. I want to make sure that I'm understanding this
right.
correctly.
So for students with disabilities, when we're reporting that graph for grade 4 reading, the performance is based on roughly 316 students. That's how many would have been sampled. Of that, you would have excluded 60%. So what you're reporting on is the special ed performance on 180 kids, roughly.
Say that again?
Yeah. So this is the area that's impacted right here with your exclusions. Your students with disabilities?
Your sample would find 300 of them, but you'd only actually test 160 of them.
That's correct.
Got it.
So not only, you know, it impacts this area, but also impacts your error bands, too, because you're expanding in the other areas because in many of the aspects of reporting with NAEP, they include the margin of error.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Just two very quick points. You're correct about the 1 hour, but the way in which NAEP scores are reported is produced by a complicated psychometric method called bib spiraling, in which each kid really just takes part of the test.
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not just that there's only an hour's worth of the subject being tested. Several hours worth of the subject are being tested, but not on the same kids.
That's correct.
Okay. And the NAEP content has been updated in the 2000s. The written statement here about unchanged since 1990 is correct for the long-term trend, but not for the main NAEP.
Yeah, that's very important. And it's just a mistake with respect.
It's an error.
Right. This is not correct.
So in terms of Maryland, there was a change in 2012 12, I believe, to mathematics, but that was only in grade 12. Maryland doesn't assess grade 12. So math has remained unchanged.
No, sir. I looked at the frameworks the other day to check this. It was 2005 was the latest framework revision in math, and 2007 in ELA.
That's correct.
Okay, 2005 was grade 12 only in math.
No, sir. They made a subsequent adjustment for grade 12.
Yeah.
Check the NAEP frameworks.
Okay. This statement, I'm sorry, just came from the AIR alignment study.
AIR is sometimes wrong.
Okay. Have you amended? All right. So the rest of the slides are presented in a way of presenting proficiency. It's based on proficiency. So what you're going to see is the percent proficient, which includes both the categories of proficient and advanced. And you can see here the overall performance. So what you're seeing here is grade 4. You're looking at Maryland as the dark line. National trend is in the lighter line here. You can see how the performance was actually impacted. This is going to President's comment earlier. In 2013, we had a dramatic slide in our performance. So one of the questions was, is this directly related to our exclusion rates? And the answer to that is yes, in part. Part of this slide can be attributed to the inclusion of those exclusions. That makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
However, when you look at the chart where you're comparing students with disabilities to students without disabilities, even the students without disabilities also slid somewhat. So although the exclusions contribute, even the non-special ed kids also slid a little bit. So it does, I'm sure, contribute majorly to this piece, but not entirely, because the overall trend as well shows a bit of a decline. Hmm. So the issue is more dramatic in reading than it is math, again, because of the exclusions. I'm just trying to keep cognizant of time here.
Yep. I also have a concern because page 18,
yes, sir, right here,
which is eighth grade reading, as you're rightly pointing out, that's where our exclusion rates are still well above the national average. And the gap hasn't closed as much.
Oh, that's an important point then. Mm-hmm. So if the delta between 13 and 15 hour drop was attributable at least in part to getting better on exclusion, if we still have more room to get better on exclusion, that's going to be revealed in 17.
Right.
So
we'll
we should not be surprised if our scores drop again.
Yep, that's the point I'm making.
Yikes.
Yep. All right, so then finishing up with grade 8 math. So then the next phase, what I wanted to share is, again, the idea of the notion of, because of the sample size, because we have to understand significance and we're looking at this data, NAEP presents their data in a way of using these color bands. So basically, I shared this chart here because this is the way most of us are familiar with looking at data, especially if you're interested in trying to figure out where you are positioned among your peers and states in this case. So you would look for Maryland. The states in green to our left are the states that are performing significantly higher than Maryland, significantly higher than Maryland. The states in the middle are those that are clustered that you really can't differentiate between the performance of these states. The states to the right in pink here are the states that we scored significant, or states that scored significantly lower than Maryland. So when you go out to the website and you start playing around, you'll see the data represented this way. So the first slide here, and just to talk you through this, this is, again, we're using proficiency as our measure. So this is at or above proficiency in 2015. 2015 data still. Looking at the grade 4 reading mark, how you interpret this is Maryland is included within yellow, and there's 30 districts, 30 jurisdictions they refer to, that surround us that are indistinguishable. There are 7 states that outperform Maryland, and we outperform 13 other states. And then you can see our percent at or above proficient in the right column. This is the methodology that are used for all of the following slides. So it's important to note, you know, obviously, the higher the number in green, not necessarily good for Maryland. The higher the number in pink, the better for Maryland. But that just sets the context of where we are. So we can transition through many of the slides. The data shows good news for Maryland in some of our subgroups, but it shows us some areas that we need to continue our research. I'm looking at the next slide. When you take the data and you now look at it by the subgroups, this is where that sample size becomes more apparent. Because the sample sizes are so small, you see more clustering of the states in the middle. Okay? So you're seeing white, black. You can see, so looking, just follow the logic again. So we're one of the 19 states in grade 4 reading. Clustered in the middle here, two states outperformed us. We outperformed 29 other states. And then if you go down to two or more races, 32 states were clustered with 32 in the middle. No states outperformed us. We outperformed one. So there you're seeing a big cluster of states in the middle that you can't really distinguish where they are.
Well, and 17 over to the right.
And 17 over the right, their counts were not significant enough to be able to include within the analysis. Yeah. Their end sizes were too small.
Yeah, the most worrying is on the next page. Huh? It's the eligible for farms.
Yeah, this is the one that I put a star next to, and I just don't know how we can emphasize this enough. Our low income, according to this, our low income students can be said to be performing better than the low income students in zero other states. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So 14 states outperform Maryland. 35 of us are clustered in the end. But we didn't significantly outperform any other state. That's correct. But there's 35 that are indistinguishable within that group. So you have a 14-way tie for first place. You have a 35-way tie for 15th. But this does highlight areas for us to go back and look within our state assessment program, where we do have data on all of our students, and see if we can distinguish further diagnostic information to inform our assessment programs, our instructional programs, curriculum, and so on and so forth.
I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
The NAEP test, the material that's on the NAEP test, is it covered in the state of Maryland? I mean, it's a national test. Is it something that our kids have been exposed to?
So we were talking through this earlier. The NAEP program and the standards that are assessed on the NAEP assessments, when we entered into the College and Career Ready standards, when we adopted the new standards, there were some questions about the alignment to the assessments themselves. AIR, one of the companies, did an alignment study. So to answer your question, because one of our greatest areas of slide is grade 4 math, for instance. In their analysis, they shared that 42% of the Common Core standards are not assessed on NAEP, and roughly 20% of what is assessed on NAEP isn't found within our standards. So to get even more specific detail on PARC, this same company, AIR, is doing a direct alignment study between the PARC assessments and NAEP. And we're going to get the results later this summer, so we can see more closely how our state assessment program is aligned to this program.
So we're testing our kids on things they're not taught?
There's value in the NAEP assessments in that it's a national benchmark.
Yeah,
all the states engage in this. So the NAEP assessments have maintained their trends over the years, so there has been no major interruption, no major changes within the standards of what they're assessing, at least that they couldn't adjust psychometrically. So there are some differences between what is being instructed, what's on the test, hopefully minor. But we need to continue to look at it. But that's one of the things to keep in mind when you do look at your results.
Yeah, are we doing, Dr. Salmon, are we doing changes within the state, seeing that our kids are not being exposed to some of this material? Is there something happening
on that
front?
Well, we need to look at current data, which is these data are 2 years old.
Yeah.
So we need to see what happens in 2017 and see what happens with the relational study that's done between PARC and NAEP. And then we can know better if we should be expecting more or what we need to be looking at.
Just one piece of data. If you triangulate SAT scores on college and career readiness, which is 490, whatever it is on the old system, with NAEP, with PARC, so you take those three different assessments and you look at overall performance and subgroup performance, they track each other at a very high level of correlation, over 90%. So even though you're absolutely right, there is always a mismatch between two different assessments as to the material they cover. It is very striking because in New York, when we did raise our standards, our cut scores, we looked at that triangulation because we had to pick a college and career ready level. So we looked at the SAT, we looked at the state test, and we looked at NAEP. And they were within a couple of percentage points of each other. There's not much space between them.
So the last slide here was basically to share with you all that the NAEP results for 2017 are delayed this year. We're expecting to receive those in January, and we are planning to present that information during February's board meeting.
Thank you. Or March, depending on when we get them. So let's not.
They haven't given us a definitive date yet.
No, they haven't. Thank you, Dr. Streeter.
Thank you so much.